It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 357, entitled Eat the Banana. It was recorded on Monday, the 1st of December, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am going to be joined by my co-host Michelle Frechette, but also by Marcus Burnett and Steve Burge. It's a WordPress podcast, but we do stray into some other bits and pieces as well. So first up, for example, we talk about a card game, Cards Against Humanity. We get really lost in that and their website and all of the silliness that they do around their Black Friday deal. And then we talk about an award which Michelle is up for. Maybe there's a chance, if you're listening to this early after it's published, you'll be able to vote for her and allow her to win that award. And then we get into all the WordPressy bits and pieces. There is a lot coming up tomorrow in WordPress 6.9. Where can you find the information? What is available? We get into all of that, plus a lot of the bits and pieces coming in 7.0, lots of it to do with AI. Should AI be a core part of WordPress, or should perhaps it be in a canonical plugin like it seems to be implied at the moment? We talk about the Cloudflare outage that happened a few weeks ago, and a podcast that I did with somebody from Big Scoot about how their company works with Cloudflare, and then lots more about AI, lots about Steve Burge's PublishPress plugin, their new direction, our Podcaster Plus plugin, what we're doing with that, and then a whole load more as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. Hello there. Good morning. I've got a banana in my hand. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening. Welcome to that was surprisingly funnier than I expected it to be. I don't know why. It's episode number 357 of This Week in WordPress. And during the break, I was trying to, during that 2 minute video, I was weighing up this banana thinking, can I finish it in 2 minutes? And I just thought no, and then carried on holding it. Apparently
you didn't even peel it in like 2 minutes.
I was really giving it some thought, but I never did. Anyway, there we go. That's probably the episode title for this one already. 357. Thank you for joining us. The idea of this show is, for about 90 minutes, we talk about the bits and pieces that's been happening in the WordPress space for the last week. Some of it gets a little bit older than that because, you know, we don't manage to squeeze it all in. But in order to make that even vaguely more interesting than if it was just me, I'm bringing you three fabulous WordPressers. We do this each week. It's at 2 p.m. UK time. And just before we introduce all of the people, I will just alert you to probably the best URL should you be watching this in some disparate random place. So for example, if you're watching it on Facebook, there's no capacity to comment. They don't allow that anymore in groups and things. If you're on Twitter, same thing. They don't allow commentary. So what I mean by that is you can't comment in a way that we can see. We have to be in all these different places. So the best place probably to go is to our page where we embed that, and it's an embedded YouTube video, and it's here, wpbuilds.com/live, wpbuilds.com/live. And if you go there, there's YouTube comments on the right, and then also there's a little button inside the video player you can click, and you'll be able to comment without being logged into anything. Anyway, so there we go. Right, let's go around the houses and say hello to all the people. First up, over there, Michelle Frechette. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good. I've had more sleep than you. Michelle's had very little sleep. And so if we see Michelle dozing on, actually, that would be quite cool. If you were enjoying this show so much and felt so relaxed that at some point you just fell asleep, that would.
Oh, I'll leave that to our president.
We'll see how we go. Yeah. Okay, so here's the official introduction. So Michelle Frechette Michelle Frechette is the executive director of Post Status, as you can see under her image there. In addition to her work at Post Status, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers, and also WP Career Pages, also co-founded Sponsor.me WP and Knee Speed Network Online. She is an author, influencer, and frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress, press, and tech events. She lives outside of Rochester, New York, and likes to take photographs of nature. If you want one URL to sum it up, meetmichelle.online is the best place to go. There we go. That's Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it. Going around, let's go clockwise. I think clockwise over there. Marcus Burnett. Hello, Marcus.
Hello, hello.
Nice to have you with us. Marcus is working at Bluehost, but also if you haven't actually had a chance to explore it, go to thewp.world. It's really great. Like, honestly, it's probably the best kind of community-based resource that we have out there. You know, if you want to connect with people who are attending events and things like that, it's really, really, really great. And Marcus keeps adding new features week by week, month by month. It just gets better year on year. So his introduction reflects that. Marcus is the mind behind the WP world and is also a leader at Bluehost, where he helps shape pro-level WordPress experiences. He's all about community, creativity, and finding smarter ways to help people do their best work on the web. I get your emails, Marcus. You know, when you update the WP world and bits and pieces, and you sent one. I'm going to say it was like a few days ago. I don't exactly know, but what have you been working on over there? What's the recent updating stuff?
Yeah, the newsletters have been a little bit slower this time of year. Been very busy.
Yeah, it's okay.
I think the email that I sent out was mostly just we celebrated Thanksgiving in the U.S. this week, so it was mostly just a gratitude email thanking everyone who's part of the community, sponsors, pressers, anybody who has anything to do with WordPress and the WP world. So it was mostly a thank you. But yeah, I'm continuing to work on stuff behind the scenes. I've got actually a game, an online game in the works that is 90% of the way there. I just have some polish to put on it, and then
it's so cool.
Oh, have you seen it?
I'll be able to share it widely.
Oh, okay. And I'll tell you what, next time we meet up in person, I'll try to pitch you something, and then surreptitiously you can slip in the game. And
this time it's free, and it's online, and it just needs to be a few tweaks to be finished.
Oh, lovely. Oh, I can't wait. Is it a WordPressy thing? Or I'm guessing it is.
It has to do with the community. It's a community kind of focused game.
Okay, all right. I'll wait and see. Hopefully you'll let us know when it's nearing completion. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. And
Marcus is also the other half of sponsormewp.com too.
Oh, that's true. It doesn't actually
he
say it there.
That with me.
Do you know what? I did want to say it out loud, but I wasn't entirely 100% sure as I was reading.
I just wanted to give him props because we did the lion's share of the work on that site.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah, there you go. And our last panelist today, there he is, Steve Burge. Hello, Steve.
I knew I would go the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's so easy to get it wrong. Steve has the tiniest of bios. It just says Publish Press founder. And that's it. But because he hasn't consumed up a whole minute of, bio time, we'll spend a bit of time looking at his plugin a little bit later. How's that? We'll go with that instead.
Oh, perfect. I got some news.
Oh,
I became an American last week.
I saw that.
Congratulations.
I did
actually. You can tell from my accent.
Yes. So, okay. I guess some of me is glad. Not a part of me is like...
I'm sure
one of them's thinking, why?
What will King George think?
Now he can vote.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It's additional. I'm still.
Oh, you can have both.
Yes.
Do you know, I always thought for some reason, because I know that with the British passport, you you can have multiple, like Australian, British, Irish, British, and so on. I erroneously thought that the American system required you to renounce citizenship of the other country, but obviously that's not the case. Oh, that's amazing.
There are some funky things when you, if you're a kid, you have to, I think when you turn 18, you have to choose one direction, but as an adult, not so much.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's
interesting. I think it probably depends on what the other citizenship is as well. Friend or foe.
Oh, okay. Right. Yes. Okay.
That could be part of it.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, congratulations. Well done. I'm presuming you had to go through some like testing to ensure that you actually knew what it was to be an American. I know that over here, they ask you all sorts of questions, which is always so controversial because they're supposed to figure out if you're, you know, I'm doing air quotes, British. And yet as a British person, you read those questions and think, oh, face plant. That's like so not British. But you know.
Well, now Steve can answer questions about US citizenship that 70% of you natural born citizens cannot.
Okay. Yeah, you had to actually learn the dates of presidents and things like that.
It was things like how many people in the House of Representatives, what was a war that the US fought in the 1800s? Not rocket science, but things you had to think a little bit about.
Okay, interesting. Oh, well done. That's fabulous. Yeah, I saw the pictures that you posted, and it looked like you'd had a lovely day out. And congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well done. That is good news. Awesome. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to some sort of WordPress-y stuff. First thing I'm going to mention, though, is if you do put a comment in on this particular program, we'll try to raise it. The comments kind of keep the whole thing going. As always, there's always one story which seems to get the comments. I don't know what it will be this week, but feel free to just drop a comment in regardless of what we say. Just introduce yourself or something like that if you fancy it. So Courtney's done that. Courtney Robertson joining us. She says good morning. P. Byrne, I'm not... Hello, P. Byrne.
It's Paul. Paul.
Oh, thank you. Paul. There you go, Paul. Hello.
Paul's in Canada.
There you go. Max is joining us. Hey, Cyber Monday cool down. Yes, I. Let's get into that in a minute, the whole Black Friday thing. Hello, says G. Venk, or Venk. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Reese says, hello, folks. Reese was one of the speakers at WPLDN last Thursday. Graham and Reese did both of the presentations, and it was great to... Great to see you. And I saw that you did your park run on Saturday as well. So well done for that. We are also joined by WP Plugins A to Z. Ah, there you go. It's Jonathan. Morning. Welcome to Monday morning. Did I say Z?
You did.
I too could become
an American too.
That's the final test.
Yeah.
Now, if he starts saying beta instead of beta,
that was a slip of the tongue. I'm never doing that again. Because he says A to Z as well, because he's Canadian, and in Canada they say Z. Welcome to Monday morning and the last stretch of the end of the year. Indeed. And Elliot down the road from me saying hello all. There we go. Right, that's what we got so far. Okay, here we go. This is us, wpbuilds.com. If you want to keep in touch with what we do, put your email address into that field and we'll send you two emails a week when we produce new bits of content. This is one of those bits of content. Then we typically do a podcast episode on a Thursday. And wrong one. There we go. And this was the most recent episode that we did. I chatted to a lovely chap called Jonathan Jernigan. Don't know if you've come across him. He has a popular YouTube channel and he makes courses and content. He was doing a lot of content around Generate Press and Generate Blocks and things like that. But he's also got a plugin called Pi Calendar, which I highly recommend. I actually use it on the WP Build website. It's a minimal calendar implementation. So if you've got if you don't have complicated needs and you just want to make a post bind to a date and show on a calendar on your website, it does all that. But now they've got ICS integrations and they link with Eventbrite. So we were having a chat about that. And then I'll also just say that we've still got our Black Friday deals page. If a deal is still live, then it'll be on this page. Basically, you know, some of them go on for weeks and weeks. Some of them, believe it or not, go right into next year. 1st of January, I think a few of them run to. So if you are still, like, if you haven't already emptied your wallet already, then this page, all of these deals are still live. Honestly, I can't say how many, but it looks like there's several hundred still there at the moment. But as they drop off, they'll start to trickle off the website in the next day or so. And I use a fabulous plugin by this developer, Steve Burge, to expire the posts. So when the post expires, I set a date using your PublishPress plugin and they disappear off the website. It's awfully good. We had a few sponsors for that. So thank you to WS Form. Thank you to Eventcoy as well. And thank you to FluentCart for helping us make that page go live. And then this is a bit of self-promotion. I've got a plugin in the works. Well, no, it's actually now alive. It's called Podcaster Plus. So if you like podcasting and you make a podcast with WordPress, have a look. Check it out. We've got a bit of a lifetime deal going on. So there you go. Right. The other thing, so I'm still on the self-promotion train. I'm so sorry. Nothing to do with WordPress specifically, but I do another podcast with a lovely chap called David Wormsley, who I started WP Builds with. It's called The No Script Show. And we launch episodes sporadically. So we just do them when we get the urge. And we did a one recently about Google Ads, curiously, and how to get it right and how to get it wrong. And so No Script www.thewordpress.show is the title of that website. And if you go for the latest episode, it's number 26. You can learn all about that. But the NoScript Show website really is our endeavor to not use a CMS. It's just using HTML and CSS to build websites. And David does all the work and I get all the credit. It's great.
It's kind of like being Marcus.
Okay. It's a lot like that. He really does do all the work. But if you fancy listening to that.
I don't want to spoil the entire episode, but can you do anything with Google Ads only in HTML and CSS?
No. So that was our first episode where we strayed away from that exact subject. Everything up until this point has been that. But David has been working with a lot of clients recently and just promoting this HTML and CSS thing. And then he's just seen this massive wasting of money with Google Ads, because it turns out that if you don't get it set up right, you really can burn through money pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And so he basically speaks to that. So this is the first episode where it wasn't really related to that, so we just sort of thought, oh, let's go for it, it's an interesting subject. So yeah, there we go. So no, you're right, you're well spotted. Okay, right, so next few pieces are brought to us by our guests. Each week I ask the guests to bring something, if they wish, to share with us, and Steve's brought this fun website called Cards Against Humanity. I confess, Steve, I know literally nothing about this, so you're going to have to just take it off me and run with it. So what are we looking at and why?
Oh, I guess, Michelle, Marcus, maybe it's a very American thing. It's a card game. I guess it's mainly designed for adults, as you can see from some of the questions they have up there.
Do not introduce this to your children.
Oh, no. Okay. Right. All right. It's a bit spicy, is it? Okay.
There are some kids' versions available. Like I've got a version which is designed for like teenagers that I play with my kids. But this is very definitely for adults only. But the reason I wanted to put this up is it's Cyber Monday, and every year they have a ridiculous, crazy Cyber Monday offer. I think you can find it now if you click on that click on that red link at the top.
Oh, okay, here we go. Let me click.
The very accessible black text on the red thing.
So 1 year, I think they said, you donate money and we're going to use it to dig a hole. And they just dug the hole deeper and deeper and deeper as people kept on donating money. Okay. And it ended up like 100 feet deep. One year, I think they sold potatoes with...
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
With like diamonds in, I think. Like lab-grown diamonds. So you'd buy a potato with a bunch of diamonds in. One year, they said, it's a reverse Black Friday sale, and you can send us $5.
I wonder how many they got rid of at that. That's genius, though, isn't it? Oh, I love it.
And so this year, I think this is the second time they've done this 99% sale. It's probably over at this point, but they would sell ridiculous things for 99% off. Like, I think if you scroll down, you might be able to see some of them.
Okay. You can buy... is some of this going to be slightly fruity? Wow.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You could buy a 100-inch TV for $20. Wow. Indiana Jones actual goddamn hat signed by Harrison Ford. No way. Obviously, there were one of those, so they sold out of that one. Man-sized teddy bear cuddle pillow. I am loving this website. Oh, where has it been all my life? They've got this thing. I'm not going to read it out, but it's got something to do with diamonds and other stuff. Actual human skull. Is that legal? Can you sell an actual? That's just borderline insane. You can buy a dumpster. So everything's basically sold out because it's very, 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 very cheap.
Limited. If you click that top one, you should click the top one.
Okay. This one
is the spirit of Black Friday.
Okay.
If you click it,
right,
takes you to an eBay page, and it's $40,100. 96 bids so far.
No.
It's used, lightly worn.
Oh, so what? You can buy the red suit that they...
Yes.
96 bids.
96
wow.
$40,000. There are some very wealthy people out there on the planet. Isn't it brilliant, though, that stuff like this can happen? Obviously, you know, if you tried to do this, 999.99999 times out of 1,000. It's going to be an absolute flop, but for some reason this is taken off. I love it. He's taken off the red suit and he's got another one on underneath. Oh, so there's $80,000 right away. But apparently this year they're giving away the money to a bit more of a laudable cause. Steve, is that right? They're giving away the money to like some charity or other, or they just keep it themselves?
I think they do most years. Okay. Like the year when they said, give us $5 for no reason.
Yeah.
All the money went to charity. Not every year, but I think at least half the years, all the money they raise ends up going for charity.
It says here 100% of proceeds donated to the Greater Chicago Food Depository. So maybe they're a Chicago-based company or something like that. It's a brilliant website. I wish I've definitely missed out on some fun stuff. I'm going to check this out next year for sure. I think this is genius. Okay, we're laughing because we're looking at fossilized dinosaur poop. There's the episode title right there. Okay, so
I thought it was good counter-programming on Cyber Monday.
Yeah, loving it. Absolutely loving it. Please go check it out. Maybe this time next year is better. You will find it. I don't actually know what the original... It's called cardsagainsthumanity.com. Obviously, you can buy the card game, I would imagine, year-round. But Black Friday, it seems that they put on an on message by the looks of it. It looks like the card game is a bit risque and their Black Friday sale is also a bit risque as well. Brilliant. Loving it. Okay, so let's move on. I had loads of links all about that. This is our next one, though. This is kind of WordPress adjacent, I suppose. Steve, you were mentioning this one. This is Newspack. Do you want to just tell us what Newspack is and then tell us why you've surfaced this article?
Yeah, it's a branch of Automattic that basically focuses on helping publishers. And they have a hosting platform. They have a whole bunch of plugins. They have a theme as well. And they're basically doing a really awesome job, from what I can tell from the outside, of onboarding some really interesting publishers. Texas Tribune is, when it comes to innovative, successful nonprofit news in the United States, at least, they're probably number one. They've been around 15, 16 years, broken some incredible stories. And they've recently, I think they were trying to build their own platform for a while, ended up giving up and migrating onto Newspack's platform. And I see hints all the time in like buried in other people's social media posts and buried in LinkedIn that Newspack is doing a really awesome job, but they never seem to promote their own stuff very much. They're doing good work.
But also curious that this surfaced for you on LinkedIn as well. You know, you kind of wonder if it's promoted elsewhere on their own properties. I don't know. I think with a few of these automatic things, you often see them, don't you? You know, you see in the footer of the product itself, it'll say something like an automatic airline or an automatic this, that, or the other thing. And sometimes I'm really surprised that that is a thing that's owned by Automattic or WordPress or whatever it may be, because I've never really heard of it. Newspack I had heard of, but I don't think I would have heard of it unless I was in that space. Maybe, Steve, they don't need to advertise it because there's such a finite amount of, you know, newspapers, let's call it that, that it's kind of self-promoting, and you know, these people talk to each other all the time, so maybe they don't need to promote it in the same way. Don't know.
They go to the right conferences, they do the right networking, they talk to I mean, obviously they're talking to the right people because they seem to be killing it right now. And I think it's awesome that so many of these successful publishers, non-profit newspapers that are kind of springing up to fill the hole that we have in the news void are moving to WordPress.
Okay, so just a couple of quick comment things. So the first one is to, there we go, it's Gerard, the guy with the red beard from Loop Comp Breakfast. Ah, hello, Gerard. I don't recognize who you are. Got it. Thank you so much. We're talking about Black Friday a little bit. I don't know if you, the panelists, bought much. I put a blog post out saying I was literally buying nothing. I succumbed this morning. I was doing so well. And then something just came into my email and I was like, oh, that's actually really good and what I need. So I got that. But Max saying he hasn't bought much this year. He was planning on buying SureRank Pro. Is that, that's an SEO? Oh, yeah. SureRank Pro SEO plugin. But the price was kind of outrageous, he said. He went for MailerPress. Oh, that's the one that I went for as well. Oh. So, Max, you and I, we're on that together. Did anybody buy anything else in the Black Friday sales? Like WordPressy, I guess, would be the thing that we'd be talking about. But, you know, it might be a vacuum cleaner or whatever.
One more for MailerPress.
Yeah, okay. It's still there, by the way. If you want to get MailerPress, it's $99 for an unlimited site license, and it allows you to build emails inside. Okay, it looks like the block editor. It feels like the block editor, but it's not the block editor. At least that's what the guys from SEO Press who built this told me. They've made it look identical, but it's their own thing. So I don't know if you're going to have any mileage chucking other blocks in or anything like that. But even so, I thought being inside the WordPress website is useful enough to me. And then you connect it to MailGun or, I don't know, Amazon SES, or I don't actually know which ones yet. I haven't had a play with it. But so Steve got that. I got that. Michelle or Marcus, did you get anything from Black Friday?
I'll be getting the Podcaster Plus by the end of the day.
Will you? Oh, you'll become customer like number three or something.
Hey. I want to use it, and yeah, it's, I believe in supporting my friends, but at a deep discount.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's amazing.
Right. If we'll, Nathan would stop giving it away to people, yeah, maybe you could sell some.
Giving it away to quite a...
Now that I said out loud, I guess I can't ask for a free.
it's been an interesting journey, let's put it that way, but it's now out there and in the wild or something like that. Max also bought the Amender plugin from Themeover, aka Themeover, they've got another product as well. What about you, Marcus? Did you get anything?
No, yeah. I did a couple of Christmas gifts for kids, but yeah, that was about it.
Yeah, well, also this, Gerard hasn't bought anything this year. Too many renewal payments from the last couple of Black Fridays. That catches up, doesn't it? I don't know if you've noticed that as well. Like there's so many things that I've got over the years, and every year I think I really should probably not be renewing that. And every year something slips through the net. This morning, something for $80 came up that I haven't used in years. And I'm just thinking, but I'm probably, you know, not doing right by their terms and conditions to go back and complain. We'll see. Anything in here? So there's all sorts about Cards for Humanity, but the rest of it is just saying hello. So, for example, webcam is saying hello. So there we go. All right. Right, let's move on in that case. And we will move on to Michelle's bits and pieces. Here it is. Look, yeah. Woohoo! Michelle's up for an award.
I'm a finalist. Yeah. I'm a finalist for the Speaker of the Year for Women Tech Network, a Speaker of the Year award.
How do we make sure that you win it? What do we do?
Well, I don't know there's a way to make sure, but if you scroll down a little bit, you can see that sharing it on social media.
Okay.
Vote by sharing. And when you share it through there, there should be something we'll populate there in a second. And when you share it, it increases the counter on the site.
Okay. So. All right.
The awards are this Thursday, so they may already know who the winner is.
Maybe
I don't know if they've done that yet or not, but I'm very honored to be a finalist for this. It's
No kidding, right?
I love speaking. You know, I love sharing, and I love pushing forward other people's causes, and especially when it comes to DEIB and things like that. And so it's really an honor.
Oh, that's great.
This is not a WordPress specific.
It is not WordPress.
This is across tech in general.
This is across tech in general. I spoke for them twice last year and did a keynote on my birthday, October 15th, after which I got in the car and drove right to WordCamp Canada to give a talk the next morning there as well. And so it was very, very exciting for me to be able to be a keynote, deliver a talk earlier this year as well, and then be notified that I was a nominee and now a finalist for the award. So...
That's so lovely. Well, congratulations. I mean, you know, obviously it'd be nice if you won, but if you do not win, it's still an honor to be a nominee.
I have a history of not winning these things. And
me too.
You know what they say at the Oscars? It's an honor just to have been nominated. And it rings hollow, but it is absolutely true. To have been nominated for this.
I always have a great deal of pity for things like those award ceremonies, especially something on the magnitude of the Oscars, where there's probably literally tens of millions of people tuning in, and there's always a camera on all the nominees' faces at the moment when the winner is announced.
They have to keep smiling.
Yeah, like it's only human nature to want to win, and so to suffer the indignity of showing that and going, oh. You know, it's like totally verboten. And yet they must all of them that didn't win must be thinking, oh, darn, you know, I wish that had been me. And yet they've got to sort of smile and clap and be incredibly happy about it. So this is all online. We won't get to see Michelle's face if she doesn't win. But anyway, all the best. Let's hope that goes well.
Thank you very much.
Back to Black Friday, just very quickly. Webcammy says no purchases, but she did renew Beaver Builder. Birgit got herself a shiny copy of Josh Como's CSS for JavaScript developers. Ooh, interesting. And I think that was all of those kind of things. Yeah, Courtney says, actually, she was exercising my American demonstration and buying nothing through the 2nd of December. What's that? What's American demonstration? Is that like a thing? I don't know what that means. Neither do you.
Steve?
No?
I think that's you.
No.
Maybe a typo, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Aside from what I can buy from small business owners, maybe it's some sort of more broad kind of don't buy from the big corporates or something. Anyway, tell us if you wish, Courtney. All right, let's move on. So, Marcus, did you have anything just tangentially that you wanted to share? I know you haven't.
No, my brain has been all my children's basketball games. So if I would have posted a link, it would have been a schedule to their basketball games. Okay, and that doesn't do anybody any good.
Next time. That'd be kind of interesting. Watch their basketball games. Okay, let's go to the WordPress-y stuff. So here we are, the thick of it now. WordPress is returning, says the repository, to three major releases in 2026 as planning begins for 7.0. During the last, let's say, 18 months, something along those lines, not quite, but something like that, the release schedule for WordPress has been upended from its normal release schedule. We've had far less of that in the year 2025, but according to a recent core developers meeting, it's going to go back to three releases, so the usual cadence. Mary Hobbard, who is the executive director of the WordPress project, says that only one release would ship in 2026 this is explaining about the previous year. It was decided previously that only one release would ship because of the legal bits and pieces. But anyway, now the idea is to go for three next year, with WordPress 7.0 being targeted for March or April, something like that. Don't know what you feel about this. This feels a bit peculiar to me, or at least a bad idea. I don't know what you think. The group discussed the idea of aligning future major releases with flagship WordPress events. Now, I can sort of see why that might be a fun idea, but aren't there a lot of people at that event who would need to be part of that release cycle? So that would be a double header for them. They'd have to be doing sort of two things at once. But also in 2026, aren't all the three flagship events like in this tight little window of 4 months or something like that? So
April,
maybe this
June
is
and August.
So maybe this is a speculative idea that the flagship WordCamps would be spread out evenly, so every 4 months or something like that. But I don't know. Got any thoughts on that? Seems odd.
Maybe someone in the chat might be able to refresh my very old memory at this point. But I remember being in maybe Philadelphia at a big WordCamp US, and I remember a big version dropping during the event.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly everyone was running around, our stuff's breaking. I know some people had to leave the event to suddenly fix problems that had come in the update.
It was 2018. Cami put that in
there
the
you go.
It was when they dropped the block editor, the Gutenberg part, and we were all worried that our sites were not going to operate as they should have.
So maybe that was a sort of more significant one. The fact that it was in 2018, and it was the Gutenberg block editor dropping. That's maybe more significant than in previous times. Nashville is what I'm reading there. But I don't know. I mean, it's a curious idea. I can totally see the PR value of it. It would be really interesting to be in a room at the time when that happened. You know, you can imagine like a load of people gathering and somebody on stage clicks the update button and whoa, it's live. Everybody's getting the, But also I can see that being fraught with, yeah, then people running around panicking because something with their plugin or theme or whatever it may be did drop. So I can see the PR optics. It sounds like a really fun idea, but equally I can see why you maybe wouldn't want to do that. Any further thoughts on that before I scroll down a bit? Because there's a few bits over here as well. Okay, in which case, let's just talk about this. So there's a lot in this article all about the 7.0 cycle and the foundations being laid out for AI coming into core. Now, when I say AI coming into core, it sounds like there'd be some, I don't know, ChatGPT embedded into core. It really isn't that. The idea is to release something agnostic. And we'll get onto AI much later in the podcast. But I am curious that there's even a thought of AI dropping in as a core feature, because my understanding was that it was always like this 80-20 rule, that if 80% of the people need it, then it would make it into core. Maybe that pendulum has swung in that direction in that case. Maybe we are at 80% of the users of WordPress needing something like AI baked into core. But I don't have a strong intuition as to whether that's true or not. So my broad question is, do you think that any aspect of AI belongs in core, or do you see this as like plugin territory? I'm just going to open that up and see if anybody wants to chip in.
I'll start. I think that WordPress is aging, right? And we keep it fresh, but people don't see it necessarily as a fresh thing when they're first considering how to build a website. And if we don't grow with what everything else grows that is in the competition for WordPress to create sites, which means including AI and all that we do, then we are going to quickly become a dinosaur to anybody who's new to building a site and looking for an option and how they want to do that.
Good point. Thank you, Michelle. Marcus, Steve, anything on that?
We on Friday, I was talking with some of the guys on our team, and we made a list of the ways we use AI, because we were thinking ahead to next year, trying to see if we could use AI in some of the stuff we do. And everything that we use AI for is external to WordPress. Use it for some coding, use it to increasingly now to translate some of the plugins, using it for some security checks, a bunch of other things. But at least personally, with what we do, we haven't come across a good use for AI inside WordPress. I'm open to ideas on that, but we haven't started using it inside WordPress yet.
Interesting. And Marcus, anything to add?
Yeah, just taking a look here, I think what I would love to see is for WordPress to continue to be as lean as possible. I think a lot of feature stuff should be plugin territory. However, what this looks like to me is providing sort of an AI framework,
right?
Plugins and the like can hook into. And I think that makes sense. And, you know, 80-20, all the AI stuff is just going to continue to be more and more a part of everybody's life. And certainly web design development is no different in that. And I think having a more standardized way for people to interact using AI inside of WordPress makes sense. And so if it's really more the framework for using AI within WordPress, then I think that makes total sense to me. What I wouldn't want to see necessarily is like, let's bundle Telex inside of WordPress, because I don't think that makes sense for the majority of users. But if there is a framework for something like Telex to be built in a way that it can connect to WordPress or anything like that, then I think that makes complete sense and does what I think Michelle was alluding to as well, keeping WordPress fresh and at the forefront of current technology for, you know, people that are picking it up for the first time.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting in that my assumption from everything that I'm reading at the moment is that if what is in this article it turns out to be true, you won't be able to use AI inside of WordPress with the core implementation. You would need to bring your own key or something like that. So you would need to bring like a ChatGPT key or a Gemini key or something like that. So that's not a big deal, but it is a big deal, but it's providing the foundation for it. You know, it's just there it will be available and it'll be inside, but you'll have to have your own key. So it won't do anything out of the box, but it will then provide the framework for, I don't know, creating post titles or creating, I don't know, summaries of articles or excerpts or featured images or whatever it may be. All of that stuff will be into Core. But it, given that it won't do anything without keys, it kind of felt like you would have to go into some sort of settings screen. But I think Michelle's right. You know, in the era that we're in, if you go to a SaaS platform, you know that it's going to be there. The only strange hurdle that may need to be crossed is that you will need this other third-party account in order to make it work. Whereas I'm imagining people like Squarespace and Wix and all of that, probably as part of your package, you won't need an API key or something like that. They'll just take care of that for you. So anyway, it'll be really interesting. Go and check out Ray's article. She makes the point that in the meeting, the lion's share of the chat about 7 was dominated by AI and putting AI into Core. So go and have a look. My personal opinion is that you've got to have this stuff in Core, but it should be agnostic, which seems to be the way that they're going around it. So let's see. The piece, by the way, was called WordPress Returns to 3 Major Releases in 2026 as Planning Begins for 7.0. Okay, let's move on. So speaking of 7.0, honestly, I could have found you 15 bits and pieces about like what's coming in the next version of WordPress, which, by the way, 6.9 drops tomorrow. So by this time tomorrow, you'll be waking up. And if you've got things on, can you automatic update to another major release, or do you have to do that manually? I don't think you can do a major one automatically, can you? No. So tomorrow morning, you're going to need to wake up and go through your WordPress websites and update them all in whichever fashion you decide to do. And presumably part of that is learning finally what is in WordPress 6.9. And there's loads of resources out there, but here's a few ones that I think are worthy of looking at. This one, all of them are videos, I think, actually, mostly. So this is the first one. It's the official WordPress.com website, and it's Nick Diego and Ryan Welcher. They are, it takes them almost an hour, 59 minutes or something like that. It's called WordPress 6.9 Walkthrough, and you can imagine what they're going to do. They're going to walk you through 6.9. Another one which I thought was interesting was this WordPress TV one, how to prepare your WordPress site for 6.9. Again, you know, sort of go through and have a little look, see what's coming. And then finally, I think, no, that was it. They were the two that I selected. But there's, honestly, just Google 6.9 tutorial or something like that. You'll find absolutely boatloads of them. And because it's been such a long time since we had a major release of WordPress, there is a lot that's dropping. So there will be a lot of stuff which you and your clients probably need to know about. So it's definitely worth familiarizing yourself. And you've got about 8 hours. So crack on. But there should be nothing breaking at this point, I wouldn't have thought. Okay, anything about that? Or shall I just press right on? Okay, in which case I will. I shall press on. Amber Hines has a company. I forget her husband's name. I think is he Chris? Is it Chris Hines? Yeah, Chris Hines. I don't know if they're the only people behind Equalize Digital, but certainly I know they're both involved in Equalize Digital. And Amber's often in the chat, and she's been on the podcast several times. Equalize Digital is a... Well, it's a whole variety of different things, but they specialize in accessibility, specifically WordPress accessibility. And they have a new course. It's not brand spanking new. I think it's been out for a few days, but it's called Start Selling Accessibility, Build Offers, Win Clients, and Drive Changes. I know that not everybody's area of expertise is accessibility, and so I thought I'd bring this to your attention. It's $102.90, which is I guess maybe that's some sort of saving. It's down from $147. Don't know how long that'll last, but here's the blurb. This course is designed for digital agency owners, freelancers, and consultants who want to position accessibility as a strategic offering in their business. Whether you're new to accessibility or looking to formalize your accessibility offering and sales approach, this course provides everything you need to get started. Clearly, there's more to it than that. And if you go to the page and pop open the accordions, there's some free content where you can get sort of like, well, it's not dummy content. It is the content, but it's not all of the content, obviously. You can check out what it looks like, what it feels like, and how it's done And yeah, it's equalizeddigital.com. And I'll put a link in the show notes. Anything about that one as well?
Probably it's not. So much easier to build an accessible site than retrofit a site to be accessible.
Interesting.
And so when you sell accessibility as part of building a website, you help the client actually have access to more people, more eyes, and potentially higher sales. And so this is a great course to be able to help you build that into your, you know, sales prospecting when you're meeting with a potential client.
I don't know what the legislative teeth are like in North America, but I know that in the EU, obviously Great Britain, where I live, is not really part of the EU anymore, but the teeth, they're pretty robust now. So if you are building a new website, you don't really have a great deal of choice about giving this at least a nod. There is no, like, it's a journey, I think would be a way to describe it. It's not like this perfect destination where you get everything 100% right, but you've got to be able to prove that you have begun that journey and you've taken steps to make things that were like this more like this and so on. But for me, it's really about not knowing what those changes are and what that legislation requires and what best practices are. And so having somebody to shepherd me through that with a course like this will be really, really helpful.
I believe it's still state by state as far as requirements here in the US right now.
Which Steve, makes it even more brutal,
right? Raise your hand. Yeah, it's for sure, for sure.
Steve?
California seems to be the only one trying to do anything about it.
That's what I thought as well.
Yeah.
Oh, in terms of like hammer and, you know, carrot and stick kind of thing. Yeah, we'll come after you with lawyers. The curious thing is, I guess if you're selling something, for example, you probably are selling it to Californians. And so does the same law not apply if you're selling it into California? Do you not need to apply Californian legislation for Californian?
If you're a dentist, you're only selling locally, right? So that wouldn't apply if you're in New York, right? So it depends on what you're selling and what your site is delivering to whom.
I suppose that's true. Yeah, good point. I've often thought about being a dentist, Michelle. I think I've left it too late.
It's something that comes to the top of mind because you know I don't go to California to have dental work done.
No. Honestly, I'm not being facetious. When I was a kid, I did think about being a dentist, and now I can think of Can you imagine during COVID being a dentist? That would have been the most freaky occupation, wouldn't it? Because you're literally staring into somebody's mouth, and the last thing you wanted to be doing was staring into somebody's mouth. Anyway, I digress. But anyway, go and check it out. Equalize Digital. I'll put the link into the show notes so that you can have a look for yourself. All right. Now, I am no hosting company. Marcus can probably tell us more about this than I can, but I don't know if Cloudflare... I don't know if you had fun with Cloudflare a few days ago. I think it was about 10 days ago now, something like this. You guys in North America, you got a break because I think it was more or less over by the time that you woke up. Mm-hmm. But where we were, it was everything. Like the entire internet went down, completely down. Really ordinary things went down in massively unexpected ways. Like, for example, Turnstile wasn't working. So logging into a lot of things which had got some sort of like capture from Turnstile was broken. Twitter was broken. ChatGPT was broken. And suddenly people couldn't use AI. And they already realized they'd forgotten how to live. So, you know, that was a problem. And then it all came back on slowly. And as they always do, they're very transparent. And it turned out it was this sort of file that had got doubled in size in some way. And anyway, the storm in the teacup was over. What's always surprising to me is just how quickly we move on. Like, there's always this, we rely far too much on these single points of failure, you know, Azure and Google's Cloud and Cloudflare. And then the second it's over, it's like, who cares?
Just like, next work.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the next one coming from? But I was chatting to Soumya from a company called Big Scoops. They're a hosting company in the WordPress space. And they've built their entire, I won't say entire platform because I don't know, but I think it's true to say that they've basically built their entire platform on what Cloudflare offers. So if you're familiar with Cloudflare as a bit of a WAF or something like that, or a DNS provider or something, turns out that Cloudflare can do a lot more than that, including page level caching and stuff. So I have a chat with Samia all about that. It's really interesting. Marcus, over at Bluehost, did the sky fall in, or were you kind of mitigated from it? What happened?
Cloudflare powers so much of what's going on the web that it affected us in different ways. We don't use Cloudflare for, the actual hosting and stuff. Cloudflare does offer those services. We use Oracle Cloud for that. We have our own DNS and stuff. So the damage was minimal. Some of our tooling went down. Obviously, some of the tooling that we use internally relies on Cloudflare's services and Cloudflare being up. So there was a little bit of that. But again, like you said, a lot of that happened while I was asleep. And I think I remember even tweeting when I got up that I was kind of jealous that I was asleep while Twitter and all of that was down, because it would have been nice to have, a few hours of silence.
What was kind of curious, though, was that it impacted things in such... So this gives you an indication of the tendrils of Cloudflare, in that I'm kind of used to a 404 or something like that, like a service is down and it's gone off the internet. We really didn't see that. We saw just bits of the internet break. So, for example, the Twitter UI was completely functional. So you could navigate through all the menus and, it loaded up Twitter. The bit that was missing was the content. There was just nothing in that little familiar bit in the middle. So no tweets came up. And so you could, in theory, be on Twitter, but you couldn't do anything on Twitter.
The best version of Twitter,
I might say. It was very nice. It's really quiet in there for a change. But then other things like, I would be able to go to a website that I would traditionally log into, and just parts of it would be missing. Like some key functionality would be down. Some of my own WordPress websites have got like Cloudflare Turnstile on them, so I couldn't log into that. I mean, I could. I just went in and switched off the Cloudflare Turnstile plugin, which Elliot actually builds, who's in the comments, just turned that off and then logged in successfully and everything was fine. But it was so, so impactful. Over here, it was things like banking, just gone. So people's capacity to pay bills and stuff like that is just gone. And we'll inevitably have
affected a lot of packages, I think, that like resources, JavaScript, external JavaScripts and stuff that people's sites rely on. And when those weren't accessible because Cloudflare was down, I think it broke a bunch of other stuff that normally wouldn't have broken, sites not reliant on Cloudflare for DNS or something, but because some script somewhere is that wasn't loading, it was still causing the site to not be usable.
Yeah. And Gerard makes the point, interestingly, that actually log into Cloudflare because Turnstile wasn't working. Soumya told me that there was, on the Cloudflare side, apparently at the beginning, the people on the Cloudflare side who were brought in to kind of figure all this out in real time, I guess there's some kind of, like elite bunch of developers who get thrown in, they're like the SAS of the Cloudflare network. They initially thought that it was a DDoS attack, because many of the signature hallmarks of a DDoS attack looked like this. So there was a period of time where they went off in completely the wrong direction, only to discover that that wasn't it. So I don't know how many minutes or hours or what have you were wasted. But can you imagine how much Cloudflare loses every minute that goes by because of their SLA agreements, 99.9 or 100% uptime or what have you. I don't know if they actually hemorrhage actual money or if maybe they credit their accounts or something like that in the future, but can't have been particularly nice for them. Anyway, go and check out that that podcast if that's your thing, because Samia actually understands what went on and tells you how Big Scoops did it. Steve, Michelle, anything on that?
We should get Cloudflare to just turn off the internet like a couple of times a year. Maybe New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Christmas Day.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Go touch some grass, guys. Just
Well, that's a really interesting... I'd never think... That's actually a genuinely good idea. Except the first, that it would
first
never
Tuesday
work.
Of November yeah. would be great.
Yeah.
Do it Cards Against yeah. Humanity style, where you ask for $5 yeah. and every $5 is a minute of the internet shutdown.
Yeah. Or every Monday at 2 p.m. UK times, you know, something like that. But no, do you know what? That's such an interesting idea, because we're always talking about digital detox and people sort of claiming that they've kind of, I don't know, taken hold of that on New Year's Day. You know, they have this epiphany that they want to do less technology, and yet somehow it manages to creep back in. Having some sort of mandated downtime, that's such an interesting idea. It'll never fly, I'm sure, but boy. I don't know if you've seen recently, or this week, in fact, Australia has turned off the faucet for social media to all of their pre... So if you're not 16, basically, anybody that's 15 and below, it's now illegal to be using social media. The social media companies are not allowed to allow users under the age of 16 to have accounts or use accounts. And so that'll be kind of an interesting experiment that country's running, and just see how, you know, how that promotes things in the future. I imagine for the 15-year-old who's already wedded to that'll be fairly brutal. But for the 4-year-old who's never used social media, it'll be really interesting to see if they can keep that experiment going for multiple years or a decade. Be really interesting to see if things like schools, primary schools, report better engagement, or, you know, just, I don't know what those metrics would be, but do you know what I mean? Be kind of interesting to see if there's you can prove that social media is a good idea for 16 plus, but not necessarily below 16. Anyway, I digress. I kind of got lost a bit there. Elliot says, some people don't understand. I don't run Cloudflare. Oh, Elliot. Oh, bless you. Oh, no. How many installs have you got of that plugin now? Is it like 40,000 or something? It's not nothing. Some people don't. So Elliot makes the Cloudflare. I don't know what you called it now, but you had to change the name, didn't you? He runs a plugin which enables you to use Turnstile on your WordPress website for things like form submissions or the login screen. Some people don't understand. I don't run Cloudflare. So if Cloudflare,
Elliot, why did you let Twitter go down?
Yeah, what the heck? Thanks, that's so bad. Oh, how many emails did you get? He says, was thinking about some kind of failover system for the plugin when Turnstile is down, but need to figure that out. Just switching it off would be, I guess. But yeah, an automatic detection system which pulls the plugin out of use during a time when Cloudflare is reporting errors. That's maybe worth doing. Okay.
Let's get Cloud to write it for you.
Yeah. Oh, right. We'll get into AI in a minute. But for now, this is right up Marcus's street. So over there, oh, no, over here is this little thing. This is
Marcus's.
If
he picked up a banana, I was going to laugh.
Yeah. two both at the same time.
In color as a Wapoo.
Color. His Marcus's Unleash the Wapoo game, guaranteed to set off an airline security control mechanism near you. But Marcus built a whole game out of the idea of Wapoo. And they're really popular, Wapoos. And if you are a graphic designer or you have intuitions that you'd like to make one for WordCamp Asia, they have a pay job. It's a bit of fun, right? We all sort of enjoy them, and we enjoy, I don't know, emojis and stuff like that.
Not everyone. Last time I was on this podcast, someone was ranting and raving about Wapoos being a bad thing.
I don't know. A couple of naysayers. Yeah, the curmudgeonly, whoever that was. Yeah, somebody was saying that it was pointless. Oh, that's right. It was, yeah, some guy had written a post online, but the internet more broadly had come down with what could only be described as a hammer. I think that person, you know, it didn't go down so well, did it? But if you fancy making a Wapoo for the Mumbai version of WordCamp Asia next year, you have until the 1st of February, 2026, to do it.
Get on that, Marcus.
Yeah. Oh, Marcus. Come on.
I can see the gears turning.
But you could have like a whole another card, like an elite level card that costs, I don't know, $10 or something like that.
$1 million.
Yeah, the one card which nobody has.
Yeah, that would be fun. No, I did design a special, well, I didn't design the Wapoo. The Wapoo existed already for WordCamp US, but I did a special WordCamp US card based on that Wapoo that I handed out to people at WordCamp US.
I think I have it.
So Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
It's in there somewhere. It's like
Rose City Wapu.
Yeah, okay. If I can find it in the... Oh, I'm never going to look. They're all out of order. We played it several times, and so they're all out of order. I'm never, ever going to find it. But if you fancy yourself as a, you know, a budding Wapu creator, you can do that. They're at pains to point out that it's not really just open for graphic designers, because I guess the constraints are fairly small. You know, broadly, it's got the same shape as every other one and what have you, but it's more about being creative with that bit in the middle where the paws are kind of gathered around. And but the idea,
yeah, they have props and clothes and stuff that yeah, you can do, though.
Props, clothes, but so what they're after, though, is obviously something with a bit of a local feel to it, because they want something, so it must follow these guidelines. No, it doesn't say that. It says it could be inspired by Mumbai's iconic landmarks. I've not been, so, you know, Gateway to India, Marine Drive and local trains. Okay, interesting. Everyday Mumbai life, local train rush. Oh, wow. Cutting chai, tea culture. Kali Pili, I don't know what that is. Black and yellow taxis, there we go. Bustling market, sea breeze. And the idea is that anybody can do it. So you don't need to be a graphic designer, but if you fancy doing that, I think that's quite a nice little thing to feature. So go and check. Yeah,
there are some requirements down towards the bottom. Right there, the link in the middle, Wapu design guidelines. So just
right here. Yeah, there are some guidelines. Oh, interesting. So is that more generally? That's not to do with, interesting.
Correct.
Oh, there's rules about what. That's fascinating. So there's an actual set of criteria which makes it a Wapu and not a Wapu. So if you do something outside we're getting into this. all Wapu noses are the same shape, regardless of. There's a rule
species.
For that. That's so interesting.
Kind of a rounded upside down triangle.
But you don't have to have a nose. That's the other thing.
But it does, okay. Yes, but nose is not mandatory.
So if you do a nose, it has to be a bit. Who knew we were going to go into this? Eyes must be a solid color, usually black and beady. There can be no white in the pupil. Why not? What's wrong with a white pupil? Why would that not work? Border thickness of the illustration. It's usually 1.5 thickness of the internal lines. The outside. I'm so surprised that this page exists. Oh, that's so interesting.
Oh, yeah. There's rules.
And they've been very, very... correct here. Typically, Wapu's has a rounder shaped figure. Yeah, it's all kind of like
so
leaning around. Yeah, but it's
you too.
It's almost like it's grabbing onto something like a beach ball or something. But it's like gone around it, if you know what I mean. So it's shaped like this round thing. And there's some examples. There we go. So hang on a minute. Those have got white bits in the eyes.
Those are examples of
fandom.
Fanon, however you pronounce that. They're allowed to be part of the Wapu family, but not official Wapus following the guidelines.
Okay.
So they're labeled as Wapu adjacent.
Wapu adjacent.
Fanon.
That's another possible episode title. All I can say is I am pleased to report, just casting my eyes, I think that Marcus's game... most of the Wapus, I think, adhere to the official guidelines. I'm not sure if they do, because some of them are standing up. So they're not kind of rounded in shape. But anyway,
they
there
can
we go.
Stand. They're allowed to stand.
That's absolutely. Who knew that somebody had written an official field guide for Wapus? Right, anyway, so go and read those and then submit your bits and pieces. And let us know if you did it. And let us know if you win. That would be fascinating. Okay, so, nobody outside of the UK, so this includes Steve, is going to care about this, but it's such an interesting story. So a couple of times a year in the UK, there's this, I don't know what the US equivalent is, but I'm guessing there is a US equivalent. The kind of next 6 months of spending trajectory is announced, and we call it the budget, and it's basically the most important financial thing that happens in the year, and it happens twice, and it happens in the Houses of Parliament, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who is this person who has like ultimate authority for the money, all money that is spent from the public purse. Chancellor stands up and delivers this budget, and everything is cloak and dagger, that everything is secret. until the moment it's announced. And the idea behind that is nobody should have any notion of what's coming, so that everybody's got the same level of surprise, disappointment, excitement. Usually it's disappointment, but you get the idea. You know, oh, my taxes are going up. Well, there's a surprise. That doesn't usually happen. Of course it does. Anyway, the point being, it's never to be released. This is like a full-on public castration, sackable offense if you were to release this stuff early, because the markets move, people lose jobs, all sorts goes on. Anyway, this time around, 2 hours early, the document containing all of the budget proposals was made public. And Ryan McHugh from Human Made has figured out, well, he's not saying he's definitely figured it out, but he thinks he's figured out that it's WordPress's fault because it's so simple. If you ever upload something to the WordPress media library, like let's say an image or a PDF, from the moment it goes into the media uploads folder, it's public. Now, typically, nobody's going to know what the heck that is because you don't make it public knowledge. But if, for example, you were to, I don't know, let's say you uploaded photos and just added, and every file had a number in it, like number one, number two, number three, number four, it wouldn't be that difficult to guess that the next image coming along is number five. And so that's basically what's happened. Somebody who's in control of a WordPress website, which is pretty cool, which holds this information, has uploaded that document as a PDF and just changed the word March to November. And so somebody guessed it. And I have no words. And just go to the end of the file name and hit the keyboard a few times, you know, with a boxing glove or something. Add some pseudo-random noise to the end of it. Or don't use WordPress, use something else. Anyway, this was really fascinating. You may know, Steve, the BBC correspondent for doing the politics thing, you know, that they're usually the person that gets to lead this story. Their jaw was on the floor in real time. You could see him. You could see him literally like, what? You know, because he suddenly had this document which told everybody what the UK was going to do for the next 6 months. Anyway, dear WordPressers, you've got something secret. Don't upload it to the media library unless it's got a fun name. And even then, know that it's public. So I don't know if anybody's got anything to add to that. I talked far too long, and I'm sorry, but that just tickled me pink.
Well, the same thing happened with the Nobel Peace Prize, I think.
Did it?
Yeah, because you can bet on it now. You can't. I don't think you can really bet on the UK budget, but you can bet on things like the Nobel Peace Prize. So people were scanning the website trying to find any indication of who was going to win, so they could win their bets on these new betting platforms that are popping up. And same thing. The winning file was in the media library of the Nobel Peace Prize's WordPress website.
Yeah. Well, so it turns out the organization that run this is the WordPress website is it OBR.UK, and it stands for the Office of Budget, wait for it, Responsibility. Okay. And so last month, sorry, in March, it was here's the file title. And you can see that this time all that they did was they substituted the word March for November. And so this coming next March, all you got to do is replace five here with a six. They do it again. And all this stuff will be available to you. But honestly, like, who knows how long somebody had that? Like, I know that I'm joking about it, but if you had that for 10 seconds ahead of everybody else and you could bet like on the markets, you could really make possibly billions of pounds betting on the way the economy is going to go and whether taxes are going to go in this direction and that direction. And so it's serious stuff, but I mean, hysterical.
You can password protect these things, right? I mean, the government.
No, not the media library. No. If it's in the media library, gotcha. The minute it hits it, it's gone. You know, it's like it's out there for public consumption. Right. There are ways of doing it. Like you could upload it to, I don't know, like AWS or something like that, and that would potentially be password protected, but no. And yeah, this broke at WPLDN. That's right. That's right. We were there. We broke the story. WPLDN, because somebody from Human Made, Ryan McHugh is from Human Made, and somebody else from Human Made was there. So yeah, that was absolutely fascinating. Reese says, I mean, beginning in WP content 2025-11 budget, top PDF was silly. Yeah, pretty much. Hardly a WordPress's fault if the OBR is incompetent. That's the point, right? It's a curious story that happens to feature WordPress in it. And Jonathan overall says they should have a plugin that secures PDFs on upload, such as Secure PDF. Yeah, there you go. So plugins, clearly. Yeah, totally possible, but not out of the box, if you like. But right. Maybe the OBS but can't afford $59 a year for the license.
So I'm friends with the guy who builds Download Monitor, Christian Reiber, and I think he felt a little bit sort of on the wrong end of this article, because OBR definitely don't seem very competent. To hear Christian tell it, there's a pretty obvious setting they could have clicked to keep the files private, and they didn't.
So
plus, obviously, the naming of the file, the OBR could have done
better. Yeah, like I say, just add some random junk at the end. Just get Michelle's cat to walk across the keyboard a few times. That'll generate some random noise.
Did you see me grab that keyboard out of the way so fast?
I saw it looked quite weird for a minute. There wasn't enough in the cat's head in the screen to show that it was a cat. Mm-hmm. So there was just something moving up and down. Anyway, it was clearly a cat after a while. Yeah. Jonathan makes the point that no, there are plugins to secure the media library. Yeah, exactly right. So you need a plugin to do it, but WordPress out of the box doesn't do it. But Steve, it sounds like the OBR, in fact, probably do have a plugin to secure things. They just didn't tick the box.
They don't now, they should.
Yeah, they definitely will. Anyway, a fascinating story to do with the UK and WordPress and what have you. Okay, quick mention, I don't know if this is something that you're interested in, but tomorrow at 11 a.m. PST, is that Pacific Standard Time? Is that what that is? Mm-hmm. State of the Word is happening in San Francisco, California. It's where Matt takes to the stage, where he talks about what has happened and I guess more about what will happen. I don't suppose there'll be any updates about the legal stuff because that's kind of off the record still. And
It's a little more complicated than simply saying it's in San Francisco, right? It's at some top secret location.
So is the actual thing at the top secret location?
I think so. I think the people who are going have had to go through some approval processes. Maybe I'm not sure if they're being told to keep secret about where it is, but there's definitely something unusual and surprising coming up for
tomorrow's. I hope they don't upload their invites to the WordPress media library or anything foolish like that. Yeah, it's all dead top secret, isn't it? Like the location is kind of interesting. And then there's like another location, like an overflow location where you can go as well. So who knows? That's kind of interesting. But it's happening tomorrow and it's your chance to see Matt talking about, you know, the future direction of WordPress over the next year, whether that interests you or not. I don't know, but there it is. And then, so this is probably the biggest news of this week anyway, the AI experiments plugin version 0.1. Has been announced. So this is what we were talking about earlier, this idea of putting things into core in WordPress 7. I guess this is part of the sort of dog fooding of that and figuring out what that will be. Yeah, I think this is a pretty big deal. Those people that I know that are using AI think this is a real milestone, a real moment in time. It's what's called a canonical plugin, meaning that it's going to get updates and security patches as if it were part of core. But it provides, I'll just read it out, it provides a home for exploring experimental AI-powered features and integration patterns. It creates a dedicated space where ideas can mature before they might reach WordPress core, and it lets the community experiment with real AI workflows in a safe and optional way. It's exciting because it connects directly to the long-term goal for AI in WordPress. We spoke about that earlier, providing a consistent, open set of building blocks that can be extended more. In this article, and there's different bits and pieces about what you might want to test. I think particularly if you're getting in at this early stage, It's very, very straightforward what's being asked of you at the moment. If you do experiment, they want people to test things like simple things like title generation, stuff like that. So the idea would be, I don't know, you create a post, it consumes that post at the point of publishing it and comes up with titles and things like that. Sounds a bit like what Jetpack is doing already, that kind of thing. Anybody got anything on that?
Yeah, I like the Canonical plugin idea concept.
Right.
I like what the performance team has done with the performance plugin, and it gives us a chance to have core-like stuff that can be updated more often than 2 to 3 times a year. They can continue to sort of rapidly work through what's working, what's not working, and move things in and out faster than if that was built in the core stuff. So I like the idea of it, and I'm excited to see what ideas that they come up with for the AI version of this. Like I said, I feel like the performance team has done a really great job with a lot of the performance stuff in that Canonical plugin.
Yeah, this was kind of what I was alluding to earlier about whether or not this should go into core, but it feels like the expectation is going to be that there'll be something in core, because you have to go and hunt for a Canonical plugin. It's not like obvious that it's there. So, familiar users would probably never find it. Whereas if it did get baked into core, then at least you can make use of those bits and pieces. But
they're featured. Well, I don't know if all of them are, but they're featured on the plugin install page, correct?
Yeah. So, they're in that feature.
The discoverability is a little bit better than zero.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good point. Good point. But anyway, there you go. So it's available now to have a play. It feels like a pretty landmark moment from that team, the new AI team. It does feel like a bit of a watershed. They've got something out into the public which everybody can play with. But I would imagine at this point you wouldn't be putting this anywhere live. Just go and have a look on a test site or something like that and give feedback. And here's this below is information for developers, what they're trying to do next. So they're trying to do, if they get through this round successfully, then it'll be things like excerpt generation, image generation, alt text, things like that. Okay, so go and have a play. Right, okay. Massive company that we've all become familiar with, Yoast. They have joined with, I've never heard of this, NL Web. Not heard of that before, but apparently it's some subsidiary of Microsoft. Because this is on the Yoast.com website. They've got a blog post entitled Yoast Collaborates with Microsoft to Help Understand Open Web. It's exactly what you'd expect. So presumably there'll be some benefit to Bing in this, the search engine that Microsoft has. But I'll just read you out. It's a press release, so take that for what it is. Yoast today announced a new collaboration with NL Web, an open framework developed by Microsoft that is designed to make the web readable and usable by AI systems. Through this integration, Yoast will become one of the first organizations to help websites built on WordPress, communicate directly with AI agents in a consistent, privacy-respecting way. And then there's a quote from Chaya Osterbrook, who is the GM of Yoast. Our goal has always been to keep the open, keep the web open and accessible. This collaboration with Microsoft continues that mission by aligning the structure that powers SEO with standards driving AI comprehension. We're giving publishers, creators, and SMBs confidence that their content will continue to be understood and trusted in the next generation of discovery. Curiously, I listen to quite a few podcasts that have got nothing to do with the WordPress space. The SEO benefits of AI is like unquestionable at this point. People are getting real traffic driven by AI agents. They know that this is a thing, and I presume it's only going to go up. And so having some standardized way of making it so that the content that you write on your website is discoverable by AI. I don't know how they're going to do that, what they're going to do, but it seems like an interesting endeavor. Interesting that it's with Microsoft and not with Google. I wonder if it's because Google just want to go their own way. I don't know. So open to you again, panel, if you want to toss that one around or not.
Oh, we've been experimenting with some AI tools to help with our support. We've been using DocSpot, which is
Aaron Edwards.
Yes, Aaron Edwards. And it's interesting to have that digest all your information. And I've had to go back and update lots of our documentation to be very specific and clear about things. For example, we sell 10 plugins, and you would type into AI, how many plugins does Publish Press offer? And it would get confused. We would have to go back, and our documentation now says very specifically, Publish Press has 10 plugins. And I can see how that kind of applies to getting ready for sort of ChatGPT search or Gemini search as well. You need to be, even though people will think these AI things are quite smart, they're not really that smart in a lot of ways. And we've had to rewrite a lot of our stuff to be very literal, like A, B, C, D, based on the questions people are asking. And so I presume that's probably a way to help you improve your ranking too, in ChatGPT results, for example. That you need to lean toward being literal with your answers.
I wonder if that'll spoil the human readability of it. If you've got to, I'm not going to say you have to dumb everything down, but you know what I mean? If you have to go back with this sort of like microscope and rewrite different portions so that the AI cannot confuse things, I wonder if the human readability of that goes out the window a little bit in the process.
Well, it's kind of like the new version of the old SEO joke, like, an SEO person walks into a bar, pub, restaurant. I mean, SEO has been messing with human writing for a long time, and now it's AI for them.
Yeah. Webcammy, so Cammy McNamara, says, I've received inquiries from folks that found me on ChatGPT. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. I think this is only going to be the pattern in the future. I think it's in sort of single digits of web traffic at the moment, like 3-4%, something like that. But, you know, a couple of years ago, it was zero. And who expected anything apart from search engines to get that kind of measure of the traffic? So that's kind of interesting. Anyway, go check it out. No doubt over time, the way that you'll do it, the Yoast plugin will become revealed. And maybe there's sort of, I don't know, flags that you can apply to certain bits of content to say, this is the bit that matters in this article or what have you. We will find out. But staying with AI, I'm not going to go through any of this. I'm just letting you know that if you are interested in this kind of stuff, there's a few nice articles that have come out in the recent past. So this one's a little bit older. It's September 29th, so a little bit old. But WordPress Abilities API, so there's a sort of plain guide to how all of that works. And this is something that I think a lot of people in the future are going to be worrying about if you're a developer or something like that, telling AI what it is that your WordPress website can do. So creating posts, deleting posts, that kind of thing. And then let's move away from AI for a moment, because I mentioned earlier at the top that Steve has this plugin that does absolutely loads of stuff. But I feel, Steve, that we don't know enough. We don't hear enough about Publish Press. I'm giving you the platform that you didn't use at the beginning because you didn't have a very long bio. Tell us about some of the bits and pieces that you've been doing over at Publish Press in the recent past. And for those of you that can see this, this is what the Publish Press block suite can now do. Look at it all. Look how many blocks he's got. It's like the full Monty.
you're doing my marketing for me now. I've failed. I need to do some Podcaster Plus marketing.
Nice. Okay. I'll keep going.
You should come on our podcast and give everyone a pitch for Podcaster Plus.
Yeah, thank you. Go on. Tell us what's going on. What have you been up to recently?
Oh, let me tie this into a bit of a story that around 6.9, that there's a new accordion block, I think, dropping in 6.9.
Yep.
And I think 7.0, they're planning a tabs block.
Yep.
And so originally our Publish Press blocks plugin had about 20, 25 blocks, including a accordion and tabs block, and they were popular. But there are 101 plugins now that offer 20 blocks that do common things. And also the two most popular blocks we offered, accordion and tabs, are being moved into core, different versions are moving into core. So with this Publish Press blocks plugin, we've basically pivoted to make basically all the tools you would need for your blocks, like a search button to find where all the blocks are being used in different posts, or the ability to automatically insert a reusable block at certain points in your post.
Yeah, so like I don't know, a sponsored section or an ad or something like that. You want to put it at the fourth paragraph or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then controls. So I don't want the authors to see these blocks. So you can remove all the blocks for a certain role. So basically, we've pivoted from being an other library of blocks to focusing on all the tools, a generic general set of tools to manage your WordPress blocks.
It's absolutely fascinating. I've been keeping tracks on everything that you've been doing in the recent past. And I did think that you've been working at a clip, basically. So,
Gutenberg market is difficult. I mean, you think of how many successful companies have been built around the block editor so far. You're talking maybe GeneratePress. Most people do other things like a forms plugin or an events plugin, and they have a block.
Yeah.
Actually making a business out of enhancing Gutenberg is not easy.
Well, and on that basis, I will now shut down the Podcaster Plus plugin because we've got no future. Yeah, it definitely an interesting idea. I think we had this sort of notion that everybody was using blocks all the time for everything, and it's just not the case, is it?
So, maybe 20% of our user base is fully in on the block editor.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So we've got to have a fight ahead of us, that's for sure. All right, here it is anyway. Publish Press blocks. You can go and check it out on the WordPress.org repo. Go and see what it can do for you. It's no longer just a suite of blocks. They've got loads of functionality wrapped around those blocks as well. Right, we better be really quick because we are running out of time. Just a quick plug to Elliot Richmond. He has clicked on a link. He has got a block theme cheat sheet for WordPress in exchange for an email down here. He will send that to you. So it's not like a course or anything like that. It's just a cheat sheet for all of the different bits and pieces that you can do if you wanted to get into block theming. And it looks really amazing, actually. I haven't actually downloaded it. From everything I've read about it, it looks pretty amazing. Adam Zelensky is saying that if you're using the WordPress importer to, let's say, for example, I don't know, you want to migrate a site from one URL to the other. That's the example that they use. In the past, URLs would get broken all over the place, left, right, and center, meaning that a lot of the site was broken and you would have to find them one at a time or figure that out in some other way. They reckon that now that importer will figure out old URLs and make them into the new URLs, like with breathtaking accuracy. So now, hopefully, that problem is over for WordPress users, which is pretty cool. I'm not going to mention that, but needless to say, WordPress is going to be supporting the latest versions of PHP, which is 8.5, and lots of work is being done according to this WordPress release candidate 6.9 version 2. So what's shipping tomorrow should be good to go. There's very little in the way of errors and warnings, so that's good. And then the rest of the stuff, I don't think I've got time for, in all honesty. I had all these high aspirations for moaning about AI, but I'll do that on another episode instead. So that's it. That's all we've got time for. I'm definitely going to moan about AI some other future episode. I can't help myself. That's the way it goes. Gosh. Where did that go? Like 90, what the heck?
So quickly.
I know. And I still
now you can eat the banana.
I'm not feeling like it now. I'm going to do other things instead. Love the WordPress importer update, said Birgit. Really cool to use it in the playground blueprint. Thank you, Birgit. Thanks. So that's going to be our final comment for today. All I have to do is go around the houses and say a great big thank you to Michelle Fischer, who's there, to say a great big thank you to Marcus Burnett, who is over there, and finally to Steve Burge from Publish Press over there. Yeah, look at you all. You're all having a great time trying to figure out which left is left. And it's always wrong. It's a bit like when you plug a USB. You know, the old
picture
USB
is over here, so that's the direction I need to point.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter. It's still,
and yet I'll still mess it up.
there's a setting inside the settings for the platform where you can flip it, but that's even weirder because then all the intuitions go. Anyway, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So there we are. Thank you to them. Thank you to you if you came by and left us a comment. Really appreciate that as well. We will be back next week. But before we go, it's time. the hand wave of joy. There we go. I think we got it. Lovely. If you three want to stick around and have a bit of a natter, that would be nice. But for the rest of you, take care. We'll see you on the next episode of This Week in WordPress. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.